At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1144. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me is the one and only, all the way from Europe, from Switzerland, from the other side of the world, Peter. What's up, Pete?
Well, that whole Peter, don't ever do that again, please. Don't ever do that again, please.
I tried. I was going to say B-Rock. I'm like, I'm going to say B-Rock.
Oh man, what's up, man? How you doing?
Yeah. No, Paris is like, okay, waiting to support. Hey, man, it's all good. You can support. It's all good. All right, so today I have a topic, a very important topic to talk to Pete, because you know there have been rumors of the return of Dead Space. We've been hearing this for a while now, and I think it looks like this game might get announced next month during EA Play. And I saw a tweet from Pete about Dead Space. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I want Pete to talk about this on the podcast. So we'll bring it up here in a few minutes. And also we have a couple FAMO questions. You know, it's summer. Usually after E3, it gets like a little bit slow when it comes to news for like a couple of weeks. And then it comes back strong. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. But head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. We have a lot of content, over 1,000 episodes. If you want to listen to the recording of our first Dead Space community event that took place years ago, and it was P actually recorded, you should definitely check it out, because it relates to a lot what we're going to be talking about here on the show. So make sure to check it out. Can't remember which episode was that. But if you would like to send us questions, emails, feedback, here's how you contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, and I did forget mention that you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. That's it. All right. So, Pete, let's talk about the return of Dead Space. I know years back EA invited you to go to a Dead Space community event. It was very different compared to like other events that we went to, because they really wanted to promote the horror films and games, and you guys had like even a Q&A with the creators of Dead Space. You also watch a couple movies, I think, at a theater, right? So they had a theme during the whole community event. So when I got to see your post on Twitter saying that this game is going to be kind of hard to be similar to the previous game, the first two, you said it was going to be a lot harder for them to bring it back. Why you posted that? Because I think they could do it if it's a new team. It's possible for them to to even make the game even better.
Right. So this all like stemmed from everybody's, you know, the rumor going on with the alleged revival of what EA is going to do with Dead Space. We'll talk about that right after this, but the comment was, "I love me some Dead Space, but without Glenn Schofield behind the vision, it's a long uphill battle. Visceral Studios set a new bar for action suspense horror for me, and the revival has to be a monster to overcome that." Right.
Okay.
So, yeah. Right before Dead Space was announced, or before that community event, there was a GameSpot, the magazine, had a front page feature article on Dead Space. And I actually was en route to another event, at another community event. I don't recall which one it was. And I grabbed that off the newsstand. This is how old it was, folks. Newsstands, right? I didn't read on it on my iPad or anything. It was literally an old magazine. I grabbed it for the flight, and I'm just like flipping through the pages, and I got engrossed in it. And like, I must have read that article three or four times during the flight. And like, by the time I landed, I called Danny. I was like, "Danny, if there's anything that I'm going to ask you for, it's going to be this. If we get a call, an email, a text message, a carrier pigeon coming through the window for something about Dead Space, I want it. This is going, this is what I want." And he was like, "Fam, I got you. No problem."
Yeah.
Lo and behold, a few weeks later, boom, it happens, right? We manifested it, right? It was like, "Hey, look, you know, EA, they're doing a community event for Dead Space. You know, Pete, you asked for it. It's on its way." So boom, I got the information, blah, blah, blah. I get to go to the event. Now, by this time, I had a few events in, you know, under my belt. You know, I was no longer leaving my recorder in the hotel room when I was meeting people in the industry and having great interviews and conversations that will never see the light of day. And we get to EA, I think it was Redmond Studios near San Jose. And, you know, there was they did a kind of like a survey, right? What are your favorite movies, you know, in the horror genre? You know, here's 5 or 10 movies. We want you guys to select them. And then whichever the 3 winning movies are, we will watch them together as a group. Right. You mentioned it was in a theater. It wasn't a theater. It was actually in the theater at EA, Redwood Shores.
Okay.
So, you know, we got to watch the movies. We got to go through I don't recall if we did gameplay. I don't think we did gameplay because it was still early enough. It was more like one of those guided gameplay sessions, but we got some great audio opportunities. We had a big roundtable discussion with Glenn Schofield, who I mentioned earlier, former head of Visceral. He is the one that started. Brett Collins was there. He was a creative director. He was the one that really led the charge with some of the stuff. Some of the names of the people that were there during that event for Visceral have gone on to do bigger, better things. Obviously, Glenn Schofield went on to create Sledgehammer. Now he's actually working on the Callisto protocol with PUBG. Brett Collins moved on and is at, I want to say he was at Activision. He helped with Call of Duty, the Call of Duty 5, the World at War, the return to World War II. And then just a plethora of other, you know, with creative directors and art directors and stuff like that. And this was also one of the first events that I had ever gone to where they actually focused on the sound. And if you've ever played Dead Space, you know that sound is very, very critical. And when most people hear sound in a video game, it's the voice actors, et cetera. But one of the great things about Dead Space is that they actually flipped it on everybody. Everybody's always, who's going to be the voice actor? That was a great thing about Isaac. Nobody heard his voice until Dead Space 3.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, but
you
true.
Didn't know. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of like John 117, Master Chief. You never heard him until later in the series. And so that really, you know, you really got ingrained and brought into the whole situation of him, you know, whether it's fighting the necromorphs or figuring out what are these markers at, et cetera. And so for me, Dead Space will always have a little section in my cold, dead heart for that game. Mm-hmm. And so now that we no longer have the brains, the hearts, the emotions of Glenn Schofield and team behind it, I know you said on the lead in to the show that you think that it'd be good.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say this in a negative light. Obviously we saw what Motive did, over the last year, we saw what they've done. Mm-hmm. We know that they have the talented team, but for me, like I said in my tweet, unless you come in and I don't want to say guns blazing, because I don't want to make it seem that it has to be like a shooter, but God help them if they don't have the signature weapon in that game, if they don't have that involved in some way, shape, or form, if you don't have the benches where you can sit there and you can craft your own weapons and bring that back to life, how do you recapture that glory, right? And so I think I was talking to Tony Polanco, shout out to him, about this as well. And it's like, I'd be okay with a remaster. I don't know if I would play it, simply because I've already gone through that situation once. I know what to expect, but I think it would be a great way to introduce Dead Space to those that haven't experienced it yet, right? So whether it's, and so that's what brings us to this whole rumor conversation, right? They said it's not, from what we've heard, right? And this is all speculation. This is he said, she said. There's no 100% guarantee that this is going to happen, but they're talking about it's going to be a reimagining of Dead Space, right? So it's, they're not going to redo it. They're not going to latch on and make it a Dead Space 4, which originally was going to happen. Right? Dead Space 4 was supposed to happen, but unfortunately, some of the things that happened in Dead Space 3, for example, bringing co-op into the situation, things like that were not, the fans didn't like it, right? I wasn't a mm-hmm. big, huge fan of it. I love co-op, but I think it takes it away from the core essence of what Dead Space is. I understand they wanted to do that. But now, how do you recapture that energy, that vision, without having the people that originally led that from day one, right? And so, again, I feel that Motive is going to have a very, very steep hill to climb to try to get to bring it. I hope they do. Please, Motive, if you're listening to this show and you can, you're listening to my voice, mm-hmm. please succeed. Prove me wrong. I want you to prove me wrong. I want this new Dead Space, whether they title it Dead Space 4 or they title it Dead Space Pete's Wrong, whatever. If you want to name it that,
Pete's Wrong.
If you want to name it that, it's okay. But please prove me wrong. Make this game worthy for the fans of Dead Space. And I'm not the only person that's saying this, right? So please, mm-hmm. I'm looking in the camera. Prove me wrong. Make me jump in my chair. Make me flip my keyboard. Make me push away from the table and say, I need a minute to catch my breath. I want those moments again.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And I also, this is another thing that I want, because that's the mistake that Capcom did with Resident Evil. I think it was Resident Evil 5. They made it like an action-packed game instead of like a horror game. And that was the mistake that they did years back. But then, based on the feedback, it came back strong. Now, look at the two previous Resident Evil games. Scary as hell. Super fun to play. And the numbers has been selling like crazy. And I think that's the mistake that EA did with Dead Space 3. Because 2 was still scary, right? It was still horror, right? But 3, it reminded me of like an action Gears of War, like that type of thing. And that was the big mistake that it did. Plus, I don't mind if they added co-op in the game. Unless it's fun and it's scary, I'm good with that. But the thing that I mentioned to you, Pete, right before we recorded, the reason why I think that they could bring it back and even make the game even better. Sometimes it's good when a studio is coming back with, you know, with a game that's well known, that's legendary from back in the days. I'll give you a perfect example. Streets of Rage. There was a totally different studio that worked in that game. And they're all fans of the original games that came out back in the days. And they made the game even better. So it's possible for that studio to work on Dead Space and make it a brand new horror Dead Space game and make it as a classic, you know? So that's possible. That's what I was trying to say to you. Because you can't just depend on the old studio and that's it to, you know, to work on that game. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I was trying to say.
And I get that. I totally understand, you know, that. And maybe my response just didn't come across well, you know, but again, mm-hmm. and again, this is no slight to Motive. Hey, I put Squadrons as one of my top five games of last year, right? So, I mean, that goes to show that I know that they have talent. I know they can do it. It's just that, you know, what Glenn Schofield and Visceral Games did with that, I think it was Brett Robbins and a couple of other people. Mm-hmm. They did. It was such a landmark title for them. Obviously, it brought them to the forefront of studios. But man, again, if I don't have, I mean, and look, if they want to reimagine it, bring me a character. It doesn't have to be Isaac. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But if they don't keep some of those key elements in, whether it's the marker or whether it's a necromorph, if I don't have a plasma cutter, I'm rioting. That is one of the most craziest inventions or ideas for a weapon in the game. One that you could sit there and you can slice and dice. You don't have to always go for the head, you know. I mean, if you could, fantastic, but just the thought pattern behind that, right? Just think about that. The thought pattern of disabling your enemies. So you didn't have to always it wasn't just a focused shot, you know. You couldn't just throw bullets or whatever weapons were downrange. You had to be methodical and concise with this. And it wasn't like you had unlimited ammo. You only had a set burst of ammo. Little things like you didn't have a HUD, a heads up display to give you what you had. How did you know your health in the game? The line in the back.
In the back. But I think that was very, very cool because they added that in the game.
It was little things like that that changed, like, because everybody was so reliant on having a heads up display, and that's how they were able to and like whatever the ammo count in your weapon was displayed on the weapon itself. You couldn't, like, if you go into one of those situations, like, this is, you know, obviously make believe, it's video games, but if you try to put yourself in that situation, you wouldn't have a heads up display that gave you everything with all your health and your shields and your life. You wouldn't have that on a screen. So that's little things like that immersed you into the character of Isaac in the game of Dead Space. And God, you know, I may just have to play that game. I may have to play that game again. Yeah. Or EA, give the people a remaster. I mean, it might just be that they might give us the remaster as kind of like a teaser of going into a new Dead Space and IP. And, you know, I would be okay with either one.
Yeah, look, if you have Xbox Game Pass, you could play all three of them there. Now, I do have a question. I know you didn't like 3, so forget about 3. One of the questions I have is, which is your favorite, part 1 or part 2 of Dead Space?
I have to say 1. Just because it was the first one. 2 was good. Don't get me wrong. I love Dead Space 2, but Dead Space 1 for me,
it's darker.
It was darker. Like, 1 starts off like full speed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was like, by that time, you know about the necromorphs, you know about the marker, you know about everything. But with 1, you didn't know what was going on when that game started. You didn't have any idea. The horn jabs, the everything, the sound effects. You had no idea what was coming, you know, for the next 8 to 10 hours on that game. And man, it was such a good game. And I know you love you love, you know, like those suspense action horror type games.
Oh, hell yeah.
And if you're a fan of that, if you're a fan of that, if you loved Resident Evil Village, whatever that just came out earlier this year.
It's Village.
Yeah, Resident Evil Village. If you liked it, you will like Dead Space because it's very, very similar. Very cerebral, very, very, like, you check around corners. Like, you play it with the lights on. Don't play it with the lights on. If you've got Danny's mood lighting and everything like that, you may want to adjust the brightness on that. That's all I'm going to say.
Now, I know EA Play is going to happen sometime in July. I can't remember the exact date. Yeah. But here's what I would like to see during the announcement. They're going to show a CGI. They're not going to show like gameplay or anything like that. But I think they're going to announce it. And the game probably will come out maybe early 2022, something like that. That's what I think that might happen. You know what I'm saying? So, but because right now they're going to focus on Battlefield, which comes out in October. So that makes sense, you know. Now, Pete, like for you, what is it that you would like to see in this game? Look, if they're gonna have it as a horror, I personally want make a dark, grimy video trailer, show the return of maybe Isaac or I don't know, just somebody brand new, maybe a new character, which I think it would be cool. I don't mind if it's a co-op game, as long the game is dark as hell, man. Make it horror, bring it back. You know, stick with the formula that worked with part one and part two. Don't promote this as an action-packed game. I think that's the part I'll be disappointed if they show that, you know. But to you, you've been to the event, you talked to the creators, you're a fan of the first two games. I know you finished it and everything too. So what is it you want to see if they announce the game next month during EA Play? Oh, we have one more thing. Boom, they show it. What is it you want to see?
Like, if the game is ready to go, I don't know, right? I would love to see flash the three lights of his helmet. Flash. Mm-hmm. It has to be the color, right? It has to be like that, what is it? It's, I don't know. I look at Adobe Audition and it's the green of the color markers, but like that distinct green color, flash those three things over the screen or something like that. Or show me like a quick 5 second of the plasma cutter like folding into itself and opening and then shut to, you know, fade, you know, go to black, horrific scream in the background, and you leave it at that. And then you just put a year date across the screen. That's it. I'm fainting.
Yeah. do you think they will put 2022 or this says coming soon or just
By putting the date, you put expectation, and we don't know how long they've been working on it. You know what I mean?
If this is the case,
so I wouldn't want to set that same. I wouldn't want to set up the title for any kind of failure like that. I don't want to keep harping on this or bringing this up, but we've seen what's happened with the last couple of big name AAA games. Titles and launches. And I don't want to put that. I wouldn't want to put that kind of bad juju on them. So I would just say, you know what? I would just put coming soon. Just leave it at that.
Yeah. Woo! Just leave it like that. Yeah. I wish I could find the actual episode because I know the last one that we covered was the impressions from E3 2012 of Dead Space 3. But I have to look back in the old archives.
Yeah, you'd probably have to do that through Libsyn or something like that.
Yeah, cause it's a very, very old episode. It's not even an audio boom. Yeah.
2011 is when we were talking about Dead Space 2.
So it had to be like maybe 2008 or 2009, right? I think that's when the first Dead Space came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know EA Play is happening. It's going to take place live, digital, of course.
July 22nd.
July 22nd at 10 a.m. Pacific. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Of course, I'm going to stream that, cold stream here. What day is that, Pete?
July 22nd. Is that
No, but I'm saying, what day is that? Is that like a weekday or weekend?
July 22nd is a Thursday.
Thursday. All right. So, well, that means I will stream live, co-stream the whole event on Twitch, twitch.tv/gamertagradio. Sorry, I had like this background noise. I had to shut down the video. But yeah, so that's what's happening. And we're definitely going to talk about it here on GTR. So what we like to do is my favorite part of the show, because we have a couple fan mail questions here. Not too much, just like, you know, a couple. And it's time for fan mail. It's time for fan mail. There you go, Pete.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
No sound effect? I'm fan disappointed. Mail. Oh, there you go. All right. So let me go to my email here and read some of these questions here. This is an interesting one. Let's see. All right. So this is an email from Simon. He goes, "Hey, all. Love the show and all the work you do." Well, thank you, sir. "I have a question." And he says, "Just finished watching the E3 2021 recorded event. Loved it. Lots of like and look forward to. However, something confused me. Outer Worlds 2 was announced as being so early. All the developers had was the name. It was also not announced as an exclusive, unless I missed that. This leads me to ask, is this what Phil meant when he said any title that has legacy that will continue to honor? If that's the case, though, that means a game like Elder Scrolls 6, Wolfenstein 3, insert any sequel to any franchise within ZeniMax purchase will not be exclusive." And he mentioned a couple other things at the bottom, but I think this is the part that I would like to focus on. And Simon, thank you so much for the question. Now, here's what I would like to say. I think that the conversation needs to change already about which game should be exclusive or not. We've been saying this since last year that Starfield, Elder Scrolls, all those games that's coming out for Xbox in the future is all exclusive. Outer Worlds, the only reason Outer Worlds was available on all platforms was because the game was already done once it was announced that Xbox acquired Obsidian. So, of course, there was contracts that need to, you know, that game was a Take-Two private division game, right? So it went through there. So they had it for all versions, Switch, PlayStation, Xbox, etc. Outer Worlds 2 is going to be an exclusive. Like, there's no way they're going to have this available for every console out there. As long Game Pass is available for that platform, you will play that game through there. If not, through Xbox or PC. So that's what I think. And I think this game is going to be 100% exclusive. Yes, it is early. That's why they didn't show the type of which platform was going to be available. But come on, every game that they announced during the showcase, it was Xbox Series X, S, Game Pass, S Cloud, PC. Every single game. There was not even one game there that was like, "Oh, this is also on PlayStation." No, it's everything was exclusive, and also the majority of them was day one for Game Pass. So that's what I think. Your thoughts, Pete?
I mean, it makes sense from a financial perspective, right? I'm always going to come at questions like this from a business perspective, right? I put on the suit and tie and I shave and everything. So the biggest complaint over the last 5-10 years has been a lack of catalog for Xbox, right? Lack of exclusive content, games that would force gamers to go to an Xbox, get an Xbox, whether it's Series S, Series X, fire up the PC, whatever. Get you on the Microsoft ecosystem at the end of the day is the major tenet for this entire endeavor, whether it's Game Pass or whatever. Mm-hmm. As Paris has said on this show, you don't drop coin like that to not put those games with an exclusive tag on there, right? Why would you drop $7.8 billion to buy the whole kit and caboodle under the, you know, for ZeniMax to not exclusify, and that's not a word, but I'm creating it just for the purposes of the show.
exclusify
the entire catalog. That's exactly why you're doing it, right? You want to make gamers come to your ecosystem. And you can't really do that by sharing the wealth across the entire platform series. Will it upset people? Yeah, and we saw exactly that over the last few weeks with what you heard Peter Hines say. Right? Mm-hmm. So are people going to be upset? Yes. And it's unfortunate, but that's part of business. You're not going to please everybody when you make business decisions in this fashion. But from a Microsoft/Bethesda, actually I'll say Xbox/Bethesda lens, this is exactly what they need to do.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I mean, PlayStation have done it multiple times with Final Fantasy, being exclusive. They've done it with Street Fighter. They've done it with many games, There's no conversation about that. Nintendo's done it many times. Zero conversation about that. But for some reason, I don't know what it is. Like, every time Xbox makes a move like this, like, no, it has to be available on every console. Like, I just don't get it. It's part of the business. You know what I'm saying? It's of the business. They want you. What? What do you mean?
I'm just saying, but does it? Does it have to be, though? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I don't. I think that... I personally think the conversation is just like, it's just ridiculous. They just should look, if you want to play those games, get xCloud, don't buy the console, or get it for PC. That's it. I think that's the only option that you guys have if you really wanted to play these games. That's what I think. But the game is going to be exclusive. There's no way that that's going to be available for every console out there. Not gonna happen.
Yeah, and I'm gonna. Yeah. I know we don't normally address the chat during the show, but I'm going to address this comment.
Okay.
Somebody in the chat just says exclusivity is bad for the industry. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
I disagree 3,000%. And the reason for that is you have to make your titles. Mm-hmm. Valid for your hardware purchase. I'm not saying that it's a requirement for the industry, and I disagree that it's bad for the industry, but that's what encourages players to your ecosystem. Yeah. We see it with, like you said, we see it with Sony. We know it's a fact with Nintendo,
Mm-hmm.
So why is it bad in that case? Right. Yes, we're always going to have legacy games that could toe the line between exclusivity because of its past history that crosses multiple platforms, and that's okay. But to just generalize and say that exclusivity is bad for the industry, I have to 100%. I just have to disagree with that. I wasn't going to let that one slide.
No, at all. And here's the thing, Alex. I know he posted in the chat, so shout out to him and anybody who's watching live here. Here's the thing. Did you say the same thing when PlayStation and Nintendo has done the same exact thing? That's why those companies and the consoles that came out throughout the years has been successful, because of the content, the exclusive content that they had only on that console. Imagine that every game is available for every platform. What is the purpose of buying that platform? What is the purpose if the game is available for every platform out there? There's a reason why you have a PlayStation 4 or 5, a Nintendo Switch, an Xbox, or an Xbox Series X or S. There's a reason for that, because there's some type of content there that you like that's only available for that console. I bet you any money that you have Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu, or whatever, one of those streaming services. And guess what? There's exclusive content, those streaming services. Is it bad for the movie industry or TV industry? Because Disney Plus has Loki, WandaVision, and all these exclusive content is only available on Disney Plus. Is that bad for this from the streaming services or just the industry overall? I don't think so. That's the reason why I'm subscribed to Disney Plus. That's the main reason. Netflix, there's tons of movies, tons of TV series there that's only available there. It's not available on cable. Is that a bad thing for cable? You know what I'm saying? So it's not a bad thing. It's not. It helps competition. That's the reason why Xbox has been acquiring companies throughout the years, like studios, because they didn't have the games. They needed more games to compete, you know, compete with against Sony and Nintendo, because Sony has been kicking butt. The Last of Us, a Ratchet and Clank, Ghost of Tsushima, Horizon, Zero Dawn. I could keep on it. God of War. Those are exclusive games. Is that bad? No. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. That's all. All right. So let's go with the next question. And this is from Chris. GTR, I'm loving episode 1131. Thanks to found your podcast. On Far Cry 6, do you think the, and I quote, disclosure, will move past the old Ubisoft quote where they said that their games, and I quote, aren't political? Now that their narrative director has come out and said that the story is definitely political, just not set in Cuba. And he talked, it's a very long email, but just going to keep it like that. Pete, we'd had this discussion multiple times on about Ubisoft games in the past. Cause they always say that their games are not political, etc. And now they're saying that it is political, but it's not set in Cuba, which I know why they had to say that, but it is Cuba. You know, it is Cuba. As a Cuban yourself, is the game set in Cuba? Yes.
And come on, we had this exact also conversation during the live stream, right?
Yeah.
That we were talking about the just the way they talk, the accents, the lack of hands in the air. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I have to say this. I was disappointed in watching that trailer that they showed during E3 about Far Cry. I was like, that doesn't sound Cuban. Doesn't sound Cuban at all.
At all.
Like the words that we're saying, the accent, the slang, I'm like, no. Cubans don't talk like that. You know, I lived in Miami for years, and I know how Cubans speak. There's no way. That's the part that I'm disappointed the most about the game.
Yeah. And knowing how well they've gone to links in other games, in other games to, and how we've seen other games do this as well with making sure that you get the right accents, get the right nuances, your vocal inflections, etc. of specific regions, because again, Cuban will speak completely different Spanish than a Dominican, and a Dominican will speak completely different Spanish compared to a Puerto Rican or to a Mexican. And God forbid any of us island folks try to speak Spanish to someone from like Colombia, like my wife. And then every time I open my mouth and try to speak Spanish, I disgust her. So, so every language is different. And I understand from a geopolitical reason why you don't want to say it's Cuban but the way the character is portrayed, it's difficult to say that the target wasn't you know Cuban in nature. As far as Ubisoft saying that their games aren't political, you have to understand that a corporation at the end of the day has to answer and respond to their shareholders. And while they aren't political from a marketing perspective, if you look at a lot of games, most recently The Division 2, if that wasn't targeted to be political, it was the world's largest coincidence. Far Cry 5 as well. You know, there's a lot of similarities with things that were going on in the current state, especially here in the United States.
Yes.
Obviously, Far Cry 6, the same general, you know, template moving us to a different locale. Now, is there some political? I mean, they already said that, yes, it is definitely political. It's just not set in Cuba. I mean, we've seen it with a lot of games.
Yara. It takes place in Yara. In the Caribbean island of Yara.
Yara. which
is has funny. The same cars, the yeah. same buildings, like yeah. architect, like exactly like Cuba, you know. But no, it doesn't set. It's not set. Take place in Cuba at all?
No, not at all. You know, but so, I mean,
not at all.
All of that aside,
mm-hmm.
so what? They're using a political experience as the backdrop, as the framework for the game. They're not telling mm-hmm. you who to vote for. They're not telling you that your ideas or your ideologies or that the way you do things are wrong. They're just using that as a backdrop for a video game experience.
Is yeah. that wrong? Yeah.
Is no, that wrong?
I don't think so. I mean, they do that in movies. So what's the difference? You know?
I mean,
that's why I see.
I mean,
it.
I don't want to. I don't want to make the show of a political conversation either. But,
no.
But if we look at some of these movies, like you know, like Black Hawk Down, and you know, like what is a there's so many American movies that portray the Americans that portray the United States to be the greatest country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it almost comes across as, you know, propaganda, propping up the United States. It's entertainment at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. we've seen it in movies, and like you said, it's mm-hmm. nearly no different. It's just a different experience. You either play it with a controller or a keyboard and mouse, or you're sitting on the couch to watch it, or sitting in a chair paying, you know, $20 for popcorn.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. All right, so let's go with the next question, and this is from Matt. Well, actually, it's not a question. It's more of like a shout-out. He's like, hey, GTR, just wanted to give a shout-out to each of you for the solo episodes you have done over the years and / lately. I imagine it's pretty hard to do, but you can make it sound seamlessly and effortless. Appreciate the hard work to keep delivering such great content. P.S. Danny, the throwback episodes are a blast to listen to. Really fun to hear what people were envisioning for the future of gaming years ago. By the way, that audio that he's talking about, that was something like 20 years ago. So yeah, shout out to him, man. Thank you so much. But look, honestly, man, it is hard to do solo episodes because I'm a type of person that just love the conversation with Pete, with Paris, or with anyone. I just love conversations. I love to record that because there's stuff that I'm thinking. Pete is probably thinking something else, and it just create that awesome conversation. When you're doing this by yourself, I have to think of it as like I'm talking to the community. Hopefully people will send me tweets or emails or post on Discord because they want to continue the conversation, you know. But it is kind of hard. But I've been doing this for so long that I'm so used to it, you know, and I've gotten better throughout the years. And Pete, I know you've done solo episodes. Yeah. In the past, was it hard for you to do, or was it easy?
It's probably the hardest thing in this space, right? Is to sit there yeah. and drive the conversation by yourself. Like you said, being able to lean on a conversation or a discussion, whether it's with you or with Danny, whether it was with Mandy or whomever we've had on the show.
Yeah.
The spontaneity, because you don't know what's coming on the other side, helps yeah. because it does help drive the conversation either into a funny angle, into a discourse angle, or in many times that has happened with the three of us, we've all gone enhanced mode and start arguing and yeah. yelling at each other, and then we yeah. lighten up, we realize, okay, we're just talking about video games, we move on to the yeah. next thing. But mm-hmm. recording a solo episode for Gamertag Radio has been the most difficult thing of being a part of this whole show. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it's almost, at least with streaming and interacting with chat, you have something that'll drive the conversation. Whereas when it's mm-hmm. just you and a microphone, you could do everything in 30 seconds and be done. But trying to make yeah. that last stretching it for an hour, whew. Mm-hmm. Man,
it is tough.
It's so difficult. Yeah. Especially and then make it worse is when you have social anxiety or something like that, where then all of a sudden you're like partway through your conversation, you're just like, oh no, I'm running out of conversation, I'm running out of content, I'm running out of something to talk about, and then you're just like, that's
missing. Yeah, yeah.
It's just dead silence looking yeah. into the camera. And it's just like, okay, what do you do next? So I mean It is. It's part of it, and it's a growing. It's part of the growth, right? It's the more you do it, the more you. It's like, it's definitely like riding a bicycle, a skateboard, roller skates, etc. The more you do it, the more you become familiar with it. The
more you become comfortable. And that's why, and you know what, Pete? That's why I always mention on our podcast, you know, that sometimes we can't rely so much on the news. We can't. You know, I love the interaction that we get from like our community, from our listeners worldwide. I love when people send questions. Some really good questions that will create debates, controversy, because, you know, we have different opinions about certain things, you know. So it's honestly, I prefer, besides doing interviews and having the conversation, I prefer answering questions from the listeners. But I get it. People want to hear our opinions about certain things that's going on in the industry. But that's why I mentioned, please send questions. The more questions you guys ask, doesn't matter if it's voicemail or email, we'll read it on the show. Yes, we might not read it right away. It might be an old email. We'll read it, you know, months later or a month or the next day. Who knows? Just we'll answer it and read it on the show. But it all depends on you guys. You know, the past month, I was doing solo shows for a while. I think the only time that was not a solo show was when we reviewed Ratchet and Clank. And Paris was available to talk about that. He couldn't join the show. And he couldn't say it on the show, on a podcast, but because he already knew everything that was coming up for E3, you know, he can't record during the weekdays, you know, and then I have certain things to do over the weekend, and it was E3. It was just complicated for us to get together and record, you know what I'm saying? But I recorded episodes with myself, have conversations with people. I posted multiple episodes a week, you know, and even at E3, here's another thing that I have to mention. At E3, when we go to these events in person, we're recording content by ourselves unless we're at the hotel and we're together, or we're at an event and we'll sit down with the developer like together. That happens, but the majority of time, if you go back to the archive and listen to GTR at E3, Pete will be at an event solo. I'm in a different event solo. Paris is another event solo. And we're recording content as much as possible, you know, but we're doing this by ourselves, either hands-on impressions, or we'll talk with the developer, or we're getting together and we'll talk about like our experience during day one, day two, like that on the podcast, you know? So, but we've gotten better throughout the years. It's not easy to do. I've done recordings, especially last year. I will go to Bryant Park by myself, just sit down in the middle of the park and just record. And you see people looking at me like, who he's talking to? So, but I recorded episodes like that, man, because I wanted to do something different for the podcast, you know, new content. Like right now, I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? I want to have a conversation with P about Dead Space. And I know P loves the game so much. I'd rather ask him questions about Dead Space. Because everybody right now, Pete, everybody's talking about this Kojima and Xbox thing, the blue box conspiracy. I really didn't want to talk about that on the podcast. I wanted to do something totally different for the show, you know. And I think that was like the perfect opportunity to sit down us together and just like, yo, Pete, tell me, because I wasn't there. I'm asking questions. How was it? Why you want this game like this? You know, like, and they create that great conversation overall, man. But I personally think if you would have done that by yourself, Pete, to talk about Dead Space and why you want it, you would have done it, because you've been there, done that. You know what I'm saying? You would have done an awesome job by yourself too.
Thank you for the vote of confidence.
Really? You still get nervous about
absolutely,
this?
I don't
get
nervous. Absolutely.
I don't get nervous.
Public speaking, I don't get nervous is still at all. Not even, and I will say though that the podcast has helped me with public speaking.
Same here.
Whether it's for video game related or even especially for work, getting in front of people is not an issue for me anymore. Whereas before, I would have been like, I would have found an excuse to back out. absolutely. Now, having been a part of this and been able to field questions, making sure that I enunciate, not saying, in, you know, 300 times in the middle of my
that's hard for me.
it still cuts through, and the reason why is not so much from the show. it's primarily from the wife giving me grief when listening to me record or listening to me go through, you know, a recording of whatever or prepping. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, you say a lot or and it's like.
But we don't think about it at the moment. Absolutely. That's not the thing people got to realize. We're not. I listen to it after I'm editing. I'm like, damn, I said that. What? Like, you know, I'll remove it. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to leave it. You know, so it is what it is. But it's hard. It's really hard to
sure.
do that.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? So no, but one more thing I want to talk about very, very quick. This is super short. But I want to say thanks to Xbox for sending me this. Let me show you. This big red box, and this is the Xbox. I don't know if you can see it because it's so okay. You probably see a little bit. Xbox Space Jam. It's to promote the movie, so they have like a partnership together now to promote Space Jam, which is with LeBron James. And let me see if I can do this. Give me 1 second. So this is the controllers, Toon Squad. This is my favorite one right here. I haven't even opened it yet, so this is the first time actually taking it out. And you heard me, Pete? I said,
yep.
This is another controller right here. This design is blue. I don't know the name of this one, but and Goon Squad. I like this Goon Squad. This is awesome. Really, really cool.
Here with batteries and everything. And
this card right here is pretty cool. This is Bugs Bunny Xbox Game Pass collectible card. And it has like a 1 year of Game Pass Ultimate. I'm not going to turn it around because people will snatch that code.
And it also came with
LeBron James figurine here. All right, let's see what he's going to say now. Let's see. Wait, let me put it up. Let's see. Okay, he's not actually saying anything. Hold up. Let me do it again.
Toon Squad on three. 1, 2, 3.
Wow. This is the content you guys are for. This is the content you come to Gamer Tag Radio for.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's video games, you know what I'm saying?
Looks so. Like as many times as you've seen LeBron James, see? Even he froze up on the mic here at Gamer Tag Radio.
I know. He was scared. He was like, man. Wait, hold up. Let me see one more time. Let's see what he has to say one more time. Come on, come LeBron. On. Say something cool.
You can do it.
Come on. Why is...
Let's go.
Oh, he said let's go? No, hold up.
You want to play me in basketball?
Oh, there you go. You want to play them in basketball? Look at that. LeBron is ready. Are you going to watch the movie, Pete?
I'll watch the movie, Space Jam movie, but I couldn't hear any of that. I think
you can't. Maybe the recorder will pop up.
Maybe. I think CRISPR on Discord may have cut out the audio, so...
Oh, okay. All right, it's all good. Don't worry. It's going to be in the audio version. Don't worry about it. So, yeah, just want to show that very quick. So, thank you to Xbox for sending me that. And great cool stuff here. Collectibles. All right. So, thank you, everyone, for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1144. And it's crazy because I remember talking to Pete right before the recording. It's not that much news. I don't know if we're going to talk much. It's probably going to be 30 minutes. 58 minutes of live stream.
Going back to what we've spoken to, you know, about in the past. It's the shows that we don't have content or topics for that are some of the best ones that we ever have. It's because it's just us talking. And that's sometimes some of the best part of the show.
Yeah. And people need to send us questions because I want that. Please send us questions, some really good ones. And I'll read it on the show. I'll play the voicemail here. But I do want to say one more thing because I posted this on Twitter because I was just proud, super proud about this. I posted that we have now 1,000 out of this episode, 1,144 episodes, right? So I posted that and I had a follower that said, oh, but that's easy. You know, if you constantly, posting 2 or 3 episodes a week, of course you're going to get to 1,000. I'm like, look, man, that is not easy. Not easy to do. Not only that, but, you know, a day that I can do it, P has to do it by himself, or Paris has to do it by himself. you know, because of we're trying to be consistent as much as possible with the content. You know, not only that, every time we have a big interview we're having on the show, it also gone viral because of the conversation we had. That's not easy to do. And having the first podcast to hit 1,000 episodes, not easy to do. Not easy to do. I had to say something about that, man, on Twitter, because it was like, I found it was very disrespectful. I'm like, yo, dude, come on. Like, okay, I get it if you don't like the podcast. Like, you can listen to a bunch of other ones out there. You know, it's fine with that. But don't, I don't want to curse here, but don't the stuff that we worked on for years, for over a decade, and still here creating content. Shit on that. I had to say something on Twitter, and also at the same time inspired other content creators coming up, because they're struggling and it's not easy, an easy thing to do. You know what I'm saying? So we have to push each other to make the content even better. And we're the ones that are making cool stuff for the community that people could consume, you know, audio, video, blogs, doesn't matter, you know, even tweets. You know what I'm saying? So I had to say that very quick. And I don't know if you want to say anything about that. We'll move on and I'll wrap it up.
Because I don't want to give that person any more shine.
No. I get it. I had to say something because, dude, yo, nobody knows the nights that I spent editing without eating, without sleep, crappy equipment, you know, or sending Pete to an event he never been to. I didn't know if people were going to record some awesome content. I had no idea. I just sent them to like EA by himself for the first time. And he pulled it off. He recorded one of the best coverages, man. And that was his first one ever. I don't know if that was going to happen. I was like, well, let's see. You know, and we have been having a fun time throughout the years, man. And we're making things even better, I think, podcast. So just want to say that very quick. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to GTR, episode 1144. And thank you, Pete, all the way from Switzerland. Or like I said in the beginning of the podcast, Peter. And we'll be back next time with more content. And please, guys, enjoy the summer. Enjoy the heat. Take advantage of it. And go out, please. Now that people are actually going out, take advantage of that, all right? And we'll be back here in next episode of GTR. We're out. Peace.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.